Welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. I am joined in studio today by Dr. Greta Goodnow, and we're going to be talking about podiatry, and we're actually going to focus on bunions. So this is a conversation that I feel like is not taboo, but people don't necessarily want to talk about their bunions, and I'm excited to have you here.
Thanks.
So can you start off by explaining what a bunion is?
So a bunion is a deformity of the foot, specifically of the forefoot or the front part of the foot. Essentially, it is a deformity of the joint, specifically the big toe joint. We sometimes refer to people having a condition called a Taylor bunion, also referred to as a bunionette, baby bunion, which is a similar deformity, but in a different part of the foot. And we won't be focusing on that today, but sometimes they get confused.
So are bunions more common in women? And if that is true, why is that?
Yes, they are very much more common in women than they are in men. Some studies estimate that women are up to 9 to 10 times more likely than men to have bunions. So the thought is that women are more likely to have bunions because they tend to be more prone to increased flexibility, increased joint laxity. And we do see an increase in ligamentous or ligaments that connect bones to bones, how stretchy and elastic they are in women, but especially after pregnancy as well. And so if the tissue that helps stabilize our joints and keeps our bones connected to other bones in the alignment that we want get too stretched out, then we get too much unwanted motion through the joint, which can encourage these deformities to form.
So what are the main causes and risk factors for developing bunions? I'm a runner. Does that have anything to do with it? Or what are the things we need to look out for?
Yeah. So I get this question a lot. People want to know, are they doing something wrong? Did they wear the wrong type of shoes? What I would say is that if you are more prone to getting a bunion, whether that's because of your anatomy and physiology or your family tree, we know that a vast majority of bunions are inherited. So what I tell people is if you are more prone to getting a bunion, more susceptible and higher risk, there's some thought that if you're, you know, wearing shoes that put more pressure on the front of the foot, that destabilize those joints naturally, then that can encourage the process to maybe form more quickly. But, you know, as far as activities, running, being active, I'm not really sure that plays a huge role.
Okay. So that's good to know. So
yeah.
What are the common symptoms associated with bunions, if there are any?
I would say the most common symptom that forms first when the deformity first presents itself is people will notice that their feet tend to not fit as well into shoes because essentially the front of the foot becomes wider. So people will complain of pain at the bump, some rubbing in shoes. As the deformity becomes larger and more severe, we start seeing the big toe drifting towards the second toe. Toes start getting, you know, pinched in shoes, rubbing together, and it can even encourage hammer toes to form. So then we start getting a lot of transfer pain in other parts of the foot from that as well.
How do they progress over time? Is it something that just pops up one day? I'm guessing that this is kind of a slow process, right?
It can be very slow. I will tell you that I do see women, teenagers who come in with pretty severe bunions. So the rate of the deformity forming is not the same in every individual. I see ladies who are in their 60s and 70s who have a pretty mild deformity. And I see, like I said, teenagers who have a pretty advanced deformity. So the rate at which they form is kind of different per person.
And this is a question I just thought of on the topic of things progressing. What's like the first warning sign that you might be getting a bunion?
That's a good question. I would say for most people, it's like I talked about, they notice they're just getting kind of an irritation around the big toe joint. And when I say the big toe joint, I mean what people refer to as the ball of the foot, the big kind of knuckle right behind the toe. They'll start to notice some irritation there, maybe some rubbing there. They might not even have a severe deformity yet or even a noticeable bump, but they start to notice, hey, this area is kind of bugging me and it's feeling kind of funny.
That's good to know. So are there any misconceptions or myths about bunions out there that you want to take this time to kind of set straight?
Sure. So I first want to say there are a lot of products out there over the counter. You see them on late night TV. You see them scrolling through social media. And I just want to put it out there that you're never going to train your foot with any sort of device or brace to go back to the shape that it was originally. So there are some devices that if you wear them, maybe a toe spreader, a little cushion over the bump, it may make make the foot more comfortable, especially when you're wearing shoes, but you're not going to train your foot to go back to the old alignment. Only surgery will do that.
So if you're like watching TV in the middle of the night or whatever, and an infomercial comes up, you can try those products, but they're kind of putting a band-aid on things.
Exactly. And some of them I would even say are quite aggressive to the point where they may even just be increasing your pain. I have seen some products where it's like almost cranking the toe to a straight position. And if you have a really severe deformity, you know, with a joint being out of alignment for so long, you may not physically be able to get that motion and get that toe back where it is. So you could actually kind of hurt yourself using some of those.
And make things worse.
Exactly.
So now that we're on the topic of treatment options, what are the non-surgical treatment options for managing bunions and pain that comes with it?
Yeah. So I tell all my patients that every bunion is different. Every deformity is a little bit different. Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes we start getting other issues that are causing some of the symptoms with the deformity. And so it's really important when you're asking your doctor about treatment options that, you know, you look at your x-rays and see. One of the most common things that we have to treat with bunions in the early stages is, you know, trying to give the joints the support they need so that they're not kind of bouncing around and wiggling out of alignment. So one of the things we tell people is get into a good shoe and a shoe that's wide and not going to encourage that big toe to move towards the second toe. We want a nice roomy toe box and something with some arch support as well. In the later stages, once you start getting arthritis, then, you know, the orthotic recommendations and such might change.
Right. And you could always talk to your doctor about that as those things pop up.
Sure.
So now that we're talking about bunions, like every time I do one of these podcasts, I feel like I learn a lot, but then I have, you know, another thing that I got to think about. So now that I'm thinking about bunions and maybe developing bunions, are there any preventative measures or lifestyle changes that women can adopt to reduce the likelihood of getting bunions?
I would say if you're destined to get a bunion, the physics behind it are probably so overwhelming that good luck. But yes, there are things you can do to slow the deformity. And my philosophy is if the deformity is mild and it doesn't hurt you, then there is no reason to aggressively try to treat it. So like I said before, wearing good shoes. When I say good shoes, you want a shoe with adequate support, not a flip-flop. High heels, I get asked a lot about, are my high heels causing my bunion? And what I would say is if you are an individual who is predisposed, whether it's from your family tree or from just how flexible your joints are to getting a bunion, yes, consistently wearing a high heel with a narrow toe box could kind of encourage that bunion to really kind of take off on you. But if you're not predisposed to them, you probably could wear high heels every day for your entire life and never have an issue.
Well, now that we're on the topic of the importance of proper footwear, I mentioned I'm a runner and I have learned over the past few years, you got to buy shoes that suit your feet, because if you go cheap on shoes, you know, it's going to lead to problems in the long run. So can you kind of touch a little bit more on the importance of proper footwear when you have a bunion developing or you have a bunion and you're trying to manage it?
Absolutely. So proper shoe gear is something that for most of us is going to look pretty similar. There are shoes that I tell people are okay for wearing to a special event from your car to the restaurant and then back to the car. And then there are shoes that we want to be mostly keeping our foot in all of the time. So you want something that's got a good amount of shock absorption. I see a lot of people who they might have a shoe that has some arch support, but it doesn't have any sort of padding or shock absorption. So any force that isn't absorbed by the shoe is going to be transmitted to your foot. For those of us who are more active, we might be able to withstand those types of pressures a little bit better because we, you know, our intrinsic muscles of the foot, et cetera, are stronger. But for most of us, you know, there are shoes that are stretchy and they might fit the bunion well, but they're not offering any support. So you want to be in a shoe that doesn't twist too much. It should really only bend in the toe region. And when you look at a shoe, you want to pay attention to what we call the heel cup, which is the part of the shoe that wraps around the heel. And if you can pinch those two edges together, it's not going to offer the rear foot any support or structure.
Are there any exercises or stretches that can help alleviate discomfort or improve foot health if you do struggle with bunions?
There are exercises that you can do to strengthen the intrinsic muscles of the foot. Those muscles are the muscles that exist inside the foot itself. Most of the motion we get out of our foot is controlled by muscles in the legs, and people tend to do a pretty good job of exercising those muscles. Two really good examples of exercises I tell people to do for the foot muscles. The first one is if you get a small pile of marbles or stones, you can practice grabbing a marble with your toes and moving it to a new pile. And you do that until you've transferred the entire pile. And then you want to switch feet. Another good exercise that people can do to stabilize some of those muscles in the arch and the foot is take a towel, lay it flat on the ground. Again, you're going to use the toes to scrunch up the towel until the entire towel has been scrunched up.
So some hope for anybody listening yes. that might be struggling with bunions.
You can do it when you're watching Netflix.
Right. So worst case scenario, you have a bunion and you might need surgery. When should someone consider getting surgery for their bunions, and what are the different options available to them?
Great question. I would say that my personal philosophy is if it doesn't hurt, hold off on surgery. It's always a good idea to go and talk to your doctor if you're thinking about maybe needing it in the future, just to get a sense of what your options could be. As far as what surgeries we recommend, they range from very minimal, mild amount of correction, not terribly invasive, and pretty simple recoveries, to a much more aggressive, greater amount of correction, but a more difficult and longer recovery. And which ones we recommend for patients depends on your x-rays. It depends on what the patient's symptoms are. And it also depends on where they are in life and what kind of recovery they're able to handle or just willing to take on.
So a good rule of thumb, if you have a bunion, talk to your doctor and your provider and kind of work that out with them. It's not a one size fits all thing.
Correct.
So how does having a bunion affect a woman's overall quality of life?
Women we know are predisposed to suffering from bone density loss as we age. And one of the best things we can do to fight that is to stay active, be active when you're young, and stay active as we age. And when feet hurt, it makes activities of all sorts possible or just very difficult to do. So definitely, I do tend to see this kind of domino effect of the feet hurt and patients aren't able to do the lifestyle changes that they need to do to take care of other aspects of their health. So definitely bunions can affect other things.
And is there anything that I didn't ask you that maybe you want to get out there about bunions for people listening? Maybe, you know, something that you hear all the time that's not true, or just something that, you know, you want to get out there?
I would say the main thing is just be very wary of some of the products you see online. And also, if your friend or colleague gets bunion surgery and they have a great experience, just because your surgeon recommends a different procedure for you doesn't mean you are getting the wrong procedure.
Well, that is great advice. Dr. Greta Goodnow, thank you so much for being a guest on the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast with Essentia Health.
Thanks for having me.